That confession that we said this morning really got me, actually. I don't know about anybody else. So I just kind of wanted to start off by saying that we're talking this morning about learning to listen, and my sermon is fairly practical. I kind of wanted it to be a kind of, not teaching, but kind of let's all remind ourselves how we hear God and how we listen to God. But yeah, I just wanted to start by saying that when we have kind of events like we've had in the past few months, I think sometimes it can put like a blanket over us, can't it? And sorry, I've been trying not to cry the whole service. It's not good. Deep breaths. Yeah, it can put a blanket over us and we can feel like, thank you, like we can't hear God or we can't hear the Holy Spirit and we don't know where he is. But I think we just have to remember, and I want us to remember right from the start of this, that God is good and he is still there. And even if it feels like there's kind of a cloud over us, as you know, as individuals and as a church and as a nation, that actually he's still there. And so everything I say today, I think I say knowing that it's true, but I feel like we might all need just reminding that we don't hear him all the time. And just because we don't hear him all the time, it doesn't mean he's not there. Okay? That's kind of where I wanted to start. Sorry, I didn't mean to get all emotional at the start. Okay, so today we're thinking about learning to listen. The passage that Denise read from John 10 was all about the Good Shepherd. And that struck me afresh as she read it, because we need to remember that, don't we? He is good. He's the Good Shepherd. And he calls each of his sheep by name. He calls each of us by name. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They follow him everywhere he goes. And as Christians, we are the sheep. Jesus knows each one of us by name. He knows every single person here by name. And he calls us by our names. And that's actually really exciting, isn't it? There's something about being called by your name that makes you feel really special and really loved and really known. It makes you feel like somebody is really interested in you when they call you by name. And luckily, Jesus knows each of us by name. So this passage is about Jesus kind of calling people to be Christians and to enter his flock. But he also speaks to us every day of our lives and throughout our lives through his Holy Spirit. So just like the shepherd guides his sheep every day to fresh grass and in and out of the pen and to water, Jesus wants to guide us every single day of our lives and to guide us on our journey. So the question I kind of want to look at today is, how do we hear his voice? How do we follow him without wandering off and getting left behind like some of those sheep? Being a Christian means being in a relationship with God, doesn't it? And that relationship can only get deeper and develop if we get to know God more and try and have that two-way conversation with him. And I think, for me, that's one of the most difficult parts of being a Christian, actually. How do you have a two-way conversation with a God who you can't see and you can't necessarily hear audibly? At least I don't think most of us can. And sometimes, like at the moment, feels like he might be in a different universe. It's so much easier, isn't it, to pray to God than to have a conversation with him. I try and walk to work most of the time from Southborough down to here. And I walk down the hill and I'm firing off prayers to God. And it's easy to do that. It's easy to think, okay, God, what do I need to ask you for today? Who do I know that's in need that I can ask you about? But actually, to hear him speaking to me in my day-to-day life is much harder. And I guess it's the same in our human relationships as well, isn't it? It's very easy, for example, with our children, just to tell them what to do and when to do it. But actually, to make space and time for them to share their thoughts with us is much, much harder. Or maybe how often do we phone a friend or a relative and we just get straight to the point and say, this is what I need, this is what I'm phoning for, without just giving them time to share their thoughts with us. So, what does a two-way conversation with God look like? What exactly are we talking about when we say that God can speak to us and guide us? I'm sure many of us here have been to big conferences like New Wine or Spring Harvest, or even at our church weekends in the past. Sometimes you see speakers up the front, don't you? And they have these amazing words for people, or they have words of who's going to get healed and what people have got wrong with them. And it can seem like they've got like a special hotline to God, or they've got the Holy Spirit on tap. And it can make us feel a bit inadequate. And I think what they have is amazing, don't get me wrong, but I don't think that's what a two-way conversation with God is like on a day-to-day basis. I think that some people have the gift of prophecy and can get words of knowledge, and that's what that is. But I don't think that that is how we all are in our day-to-day lives with God. So don't feel bad if you can't jump up here now and give a word from the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean you can't hear God. You can. Everyone can hear God, or at least learn to hear God. It's not something, like I say, that comes naturally to most of us, but it is something that I think we can practice and become more accustomed to. In the book we've been looking at in house groups, this one by John Ortberg called The Life You've Always Wanted, John Ortberg quotes a guy called Thomas Kelly, who wrote a book called A Testament of Devotion. It sounds like a really good book, actually, having read the summary. I think I need to get hold of it. Thomas Kelly says this: there is a way of ordering our mental life on more than one level at once. On one level, we may be thinking, discussing, seeing, calculating, meeting all the demands of external affairs. Sarah, could we have it up on the screen? Thanks. But deep within, behind the scenes, at a profounder level, we may also be in prayer and adoration, song and worship, and a gentle receptiveness to divine breathings. So what Thomas Kelly's saying is that while we're going about our normal day-to-day lives, we can also have this kind of background conversation with God on another level. And that's what our aim should be as Christians, shouldn't it? It should be to be in step with Jesus and to be in constant conversation with him, kind of feeling his promptings and listening for his voice. So earlier this week, on one of my walks to work, I was firing prayers up to God. And then I realized I should probably be trying to practice what I was going to preach about today. So I asked God to speak to me. I said, God, what do you want to say to me as I walk to work today? And further up the road, this runner turned out of a side road and was running ahead of me. And his dog was running behind him. And I see them fairly often when I'm walking to work. But I realized that day that the dog is always off its lead and it just trots along behind its owner. And whenever the owner stops, he stops. And whenever the owner calls his name, he's there looking up lovingly. And the dog wasn't being distracted by other people or cars or other dogs. It was just there trotting along behind, running in step. And I really felt God saying, this is how we should be. We should just be in step with Jesus, following his voice and not being distracted by what's around us. Now, you might think that's just what I saw in the situation that was in front of me. That actually, maybe it wasn't God. It's just that was just me interpreting it. But actually, I believe that when we ask God to speak to us, he does. And it is actually that simple, that we just have to look for the messages that God gives us in the world around us and in other people, and be open to what he wants to say to us. And we also need to just practice kind of recognizing how he speaks to us. He's not going to speak to us all the same. He might speak to me through kind of what I see in the world around me, but he might speak to you differently. So let's have a little look at how we do this in practice, because like I said earlier, there's nothing worse than going away from a talk like this and thinking, yes, I want to hear God, I want to get closer to him, but actually I still don't really know how to do that. So I just want to give you a few practical ideas of how God speaks to us. So the first one is that he directs our thoughts. I think we can kind of, like Thomas Kelly said in that quote, we can train our minds and our souls to be more in step with God. We can kind of give ourselves reminders to ask him what he wants us to do or who he wants us to speak to. And the likelihood is that we won't hear an audible voice, sorry, coming back, but rather we'll kind of have a sense in our minds of what he wants us to do or what to do next. Over the years, in kind of being a Christian and learning how to hear him, I've learned that actually the first thought that comes into my head after asking God a question is probably God's voice. And I just have to trust that and go with it. And I've learned the hard way by often not following that thought or not doing what he's maybe told me to do, and then realizing afterwards that I should have done. And there's a common misconception, I think, isn't there, that spending time with God means being alone with him. And it is good to be alone with God. Jesus was, you know, made sure he took time to be alone with God. But actually, everything we do can be in God's presence if we invite him to be part of it. There's another great book, which lots of you have probably heard of, by a monk called Brother Lawrence, called The Practice of the Presence of God. He was a monk in the 17th century, and he spent his time in the monastery kind of just doing menial tasks. But he learned that by experiencing God's presence in everything that he did, he could grow closer to him. He learned that he could spend time in communion with God, whether he was washing up or doing the gardening or whatever else he had to do. And I just wanted to read you a couple of quotes from his book. So first he says, "By rising after my falls and by frequently renewed acts of faith and love, I am come to a state wherein it would be as difficult for me not to think of God as it was at first to accustom myself to it." So he practiced and he practiced and he practiced, and he got to a state where it was just as easy to be with God in everything as it had been at the start not to be. And then he goes on to say, "There is not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God. Those only can comprehend it who practice it and experience it." That makes me want to have a go at getting closer to God. I don't know about you. It's definitely a good book to read if you can get hold of it. It's only a little book, so yeah, worth a read. Secondly, I think God can speak to us through the Bible. Sometimes we read the Bible and it's kind of just dry. It can be a bit dry, can't it? You kind of think we're just reading like we're reading any other book. But sometimes, like this morning when I heard Denise read that passage again, something can jump out at us. Maybe it's just a word like good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. Sometimes when we ask God for guidance, you might find there's a scripture that comes up everywhere you go. Somebody sends it to you. You read it in your daily reading. You know, it's read at church. So we just need to kind of be aware of that and take that as God speaking to us. That's not coincidence. That's God trying to get your attention. Next, I think God can speak to us through each other. It might be in big ways, like the speaker at New Wine having a word for you. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? But more often than not, God uses people in our everyday lives. Maybe a friend texts you at just the right time, or somebody might confirm a decision that you've got to make without knowing all the details. Or maybe somebody gives you a Bible passage that fits exactly where you are. For God to communicate in this way, it means we need to be ready to be the ones giving the message as well as open to receiving those messages. He wants to use all of us to speak to each other. So again, we just need to be open to his promptings of what to say to each other. And we need to just learn to trust our instincts as well and know that he's giving us the right message. I don't think any of us mind if somebody comes and gives us a message and it's not right, do we? I think we'd rather kind of take a risk and trust our instincts and trust what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. God can also use situations to guide us as well, can't he? We sometimes talk about doors opening and closing. And I think when we ask God to guide us, he can make things happen so that it's clear which door we should go through. When I was still in Uganda and I was in the middle of the mess of my marriage breaking up, I asked God again and again and again to show me the right thing to do. I wanted, obviously, to save my marriage, so I kept asking God to show me that that was the right thing to do, because the other option was leaving Uganda and kind of leaving it all behind. And each time I asked, God brought me another bit of evidence that showed me actually the opposite and showed me that it wasn't going to work. And that, obviously, that was really hard at the time, but it was the right answer and it was the right thing to do. And God was gracious enough to show me kind of beyond all doubt, you know, even when I had enough information, I asked him for more because I needed to be sure. And God gave it to me. He's gracious and he'll give you the answers you need. And the last one I wanted to pick up on was feelings. God speaks to us through our feelings, I think. He's given us feelings and emotions to help to guide us. And our feelings can be, not always, but can be a good indication of whether we're doing the right thing or not. I've had lots of times in my life where I've had to make big decisions and the times when I've asked God to help me and then made that decision, I felt a really deep sense of peace about the decision that I've made. And I take that to mean that God is saying that I've made the right decision. Equally, I've also had periods in my life where I felt really unsettled and not really known why. And then God's brought change about after that. And I think God can prepare us sometimes to move on by unsettling us and kind of getting us ready for change to happen. So I think God speaks to us in all those ways and more. You might be incredibly blessed and hear him in an audible voice. You might be able to hear him speaking to you like that. You might see words in your mind. You might see pictures. You might have dreams. You might have visions. Sometimes God just wants us to use our common sense, actually. And you might ask him to guide you. And actually, you might not hear him, but you just have to make the wise decision because he's given us common sense and a conscience to guide us. I hope I've made it seem simple, because I think it is, but equally, it doesn't, like I said at the start, we don't hear God all the time, and we might ask him for guidance and we don't hear anything, but we have to just keep trusting that he is there to guide us. Just as we come in to finish, I just wanted to pick up on a few of the things that get in the way of us hearing God, because I think if we can kind of recognize what they are, then we might be able to do something about getting rid of them. The first one, especially in the world we live in today, I think, is distractions. We live in such a busy world, don't we? We've got noise everywhere and screens everywhere and a tendency to always have, you know, background music on or the radio on or the TV on. And as much as we don't have to be in silence to hear God, I think it's sometimes useful to just try and cut out some of those distractions so that we can focus on him. It might be that you just have 5 minutes between doing something, and instead of getting the phone out and scrolling through Facebook, you just spend that 5 minutes focusing on God and asking him what he wants you to do next. I'm talking to myself as much as anyone else there. I've just read Nicola Neal's book, which Nick kindly lent me, and there was one part in there where she said they had a poster on their office wall that said, "What does love look like?" And she kind of made the point that love for each of us looks different, and it might be that you just remind yourself each day to say to God, "What does love look like for me today?" And give me the opportunities to love people today. Another thing that gets in the way is maybe that we don't actually want to hear God, or we don't want the answer that he's going to give us. I know that might sound a bit weird, because as Christians we surely all want to hear him and we want to know what he wants us to do, but if I'm living in a way that I know is not pleasing to God, or if I'm asking for something that I know is not in line with God's will, then as much as I ask God to show me that that's right, I don't think he's going to. Or if I ask God that question, how do I love people today, and then I continually don't take the opportunities that he gives me, then I'm not saying that he'll stop speaking to us, but I think that unresponsiveness can get in the way of us hearing God. In his book, John Ortberg sums it up like this. He says, "It only makes sense to ask God for guidance in the context of a life committed to seeking first the kingdom of God." And the last thing I wanted to pick up on is that we might be blocked from hearing God because we think he's going to speak to us in a certain way or guide us in a certain way. So we're looking for that particular thing, and then we miss out on other things that he wants to show us. There's quite a well-known story that kind of demonstrates this. I'll just read it to you. It's a little bit flippant, but I hope you'll kind of take the meaning from it. A very religious man was once caught in rising floodwaters. He climbed onto the roof of his house and he trusted God to rescue him. A neighbor came by in a canoe and said, "The waters are soon going to be above your house. Hop in and we'll paddle to safety." "No thanks," replied the religious man. "I've prayed to God and I'm sure he's going to save me." A short time later, the police came by in a boat. "The waters are rising. Hop in and we'll take you to safety." "No thanks," said the religious man. "I've prayed to God and I'm sure he's going to save me." A little time later, a helicopter hovered overhead, let down a rope ladder and said, "The waters will soon be above your house. Climb the ladder and we will fly you to safety." "No thanks," replied the religious man. "I've prayed to God and I am sure he will save me." All this time, the floodwaters continued to rise, until soon they reached above the roof and the religious man drowned. When he arrived in heaven, he demanded an audience with God. Ushered into God's throne room, he said, Lord, why am I here in heaven? I prayed for you to save me. I trusted you to save me from that flood. Yes, you did, replied the Lord, and I sent you a canoe and a boat and a helicopter, but you never got in. I just want to finish with John Ortberg's last paragraph in his chapter on this in his book, and then we'll pray. He says this, we can't be transformed if we close ourselves off to the guiding power of the Holy Spirit. We must come to believe, mind-stretching as it sounds, that God really can and does personally attend to us. As long as we're going to pray to the God who spoke creation into being, who communicated to prophets and priests and kings and ordinary people, who wrote a 1,000-page book we know as the Bible, and who refers to his Son as the Word made flesh, then surely we accept the possibility that sometimes he may want to get a word or two in with us. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much that you are the Good Shepherd, Lord. I thank you that you know each one of us by name. Lord, that you want to have a conversation with us, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second, Lord. And I pray that as we go away from here this week, Lord, that you will really help us to focus on you and to remind ourselves to come back to you, Lord, and to speak to you and to expect answers, Father. Let's just be quiet for a couple of minutes and let the Holy Spirit speak to each of us now.